The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana. The news presented by Abraham Donko
and Najagble Ago.
In the headlines, National Labour Commission directs teachers to resume work today. Parliament approves budgetary estimates for four ministries. Expensive political campaigns identified as major hindrance to women's participation in decision-making in the sub-region. Security agencies impound over 200 motorbikes and tricycles in Tamale to reduce road crashes. Kenya's Independent Electoral and Boundaries Commission starts official registration of parliamentarians today. And Australia apologizes to persons affected by adoption policy between 1950 and 1970s. But first, the summary with Najagble Ago.
The National Labour Commission has directed teachers to resume work today while negotiations with their employers continue. Speaking to Radio Ghana, the Executive Secretary of the Commission, Breku Buedu, noted that failure of the two to reach an agreement within a week will lead them into compulsory arbitration. Parliament has endorsed this year's budgetary estimates for four ministries, including the Ministry of Health and Ministry of Trade and Industry. The Health Ministry gets $3,529,444,056 Ghana cedis, while the Trade and Industry Ministry receives $124,868,440 Ghana cedis. Expensive political campaigns have been identified as a bane confronting women's participation in politics. At a conference on women and peace and security in Accra, panelists were of the view that women are often found wanting when it comes to the financial aspects of politics, which rob them of opportunities to partake in decision-making. And Kenya's Independent Electoral and Boundaries Commission will today commence registering parliamentarians. This will allow both the House and Senate to elect their speakers. Meanwhile, the Commissioner, Ambassador Yusuf Nzibu, says they are working closely with the country's transitional authority to ensure a smooth transition process despite the ongoing election dispute.
Radio Ghana, the ultimate news reference. We are reliable. The world listens to our voice.
The news now in detail. Striking teachers are expected to resume work today. This follows a directive by the National Labour Commission to the teachers after a meeting yesterday. The commission also directed the striking teachers to go back to the negotiating table with their employers, GES, Ministry of Education, the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission. At the end of the meeting, the commission asked both parties to come up with a roadmap to make payments where money is involved. Its Executive Secretary, Breku Buedu, told Radio Ghana that teachers and the employers will be forced into compulsory arbitration if they are not able to resolve the issues within 1 week.
It was a follow-up to Monday's meeting where NAGRAT was not able to attend because they claimed their wages were all out of Accra. All the parties appeared before the National Labour Commission and the teachers raised four major issues which they claim were the causes of their strike. After a very lengthy and hectic discussion, they agreed with the Labour Commission that they had not exhausted the negotiations with their employers. As a result of that, the Labour Commission directed the striking teachers, that their leaders and their employers, Ghana Education Service, Ministry of Education, and Fair Wages and Salaries Commission, go back to the negotiating table, negotiate all the issues that are involved, agree on them, where there is a need for payment and monies are not readily available for payment, they should come up with a roadmap for the payment of such money and report back to the commission at 7 days. So the commission is going to meet them again on Wednesday, 27th March 2013. Also, once negotiations are going on, the law says that the worker cannot be on strike while negotiations are going on. It's like holding a gun to the head of your employer. Say, let's negotiate. It means the negotiations will be under duress. Therefore, the commission have directed striking teachers call off the strike immediately and resume work.
Did the teachers in any way raise any objection to this ruling?
Oh, the discussions, even though hectic, were very mutual. It was a give and take affair. And then on the day, the consensus among striking teachers and their employers that they are not completed their negotiation. So they did not raise any objection.
Well, you have directed the teachers to go back to the classroom, but how do you ensure that they comply with this directive?
Well, from the mood of those who were in this meeting, believe that there's not going to be any problem with the National Labor Commission.
Does it mean that you're expecting the teachers to go back to the classroom?
Yes, experience has indicated to us that strikes are not declared by just individuals. Through nuclear strike action, we expect that they will consult among themselves, then all of the staff. So we expect them to be back in the classrooms latest by Friday.
And about the ultimatum, what happens if they are not able to resolve their differences in 7 days?
Well, if they are not able to resolve their differences in 7 days, they will come back to the National Labor Commission.
That was the Executive Secretary of the National Labour Commission, Brekubu Edupokun Twagata Samwa, on Behind the News last night.
Parliament has approved the 2013 budgetary estimate for four ministries. The Ministry of Health gets 3,529,444,056 Ghana cedis, while the Ministry of Trade and Industry is allocated 124,868,440 Ghana cedis. Here is a report by our correspondents, Dominic Nogi and Augusto Zakwe.
Presenting separate reports on the estimate for the ministries, the chairman of the various committees stressed the need for the government to adequately resolve the ministries and agency to effectively carry their mandates. The chairman of the health committee, Joseph Yelichu, has said the health sector is key in the transformation of the country and improving the lives of Ghanaians. He gave the breakdown of the over 3 billion estimate for the health ministry.
After critically considering the annual budget estimate in the Ministry of Health, the committee holds the view that the health sector is so key in the transformation process and a political agenda for improving the lives of Ghanaians. The committee recommends to the House to adopt this report and approve the sum of 3,529,444,000 and 66 Ghana cedis for the activities of the Ministry of Health for the 2013 fiscal year.
In seconding the motion for the approval of the estimate for the Trade Ministry, the Chairman of the Trade, Industry and Tourism Committee, Alhaji Ahmed Sorogo, urged the Ministry to liaise with the Ghana Standards Authority and the Food and Drugs Authority to develop a quality infrastructure policy to outline and alienate the roles and responsibilities of the two authorities. For the utilization of the 124,868,440 Ghana cedis allocation, Alhaji Sorogo said projects such as the resuscitation of the Commander Sugar Factory in the Central Region and the Keta Salt project will be pursued.
Mr. Speaker, with this amount, the Ministry intends to cover areas like the private sector development strategy 2, the industrial sector support program, the industrial development, the resuscitation of the Commander Sugar Factory in the Central Region. The Keta Salt project, Mr. Speaker, is supposed to be catered under this amount. Mr. Speaker, the committee noted that enough provisions was not made for the private sector development strategy. The minister assured the committee that it will be taken care in a media review.
The Minister of Energy and Petroleum has been given 1,061,000,000 Ghana cedis for its operations this year. There was, however, no budgetary allocation for the Petroleum Commission this year. The Petroleum Commission had requested for 24 million Ghana cedis this year. The Committee on Mines and Energy in its report expressed concern about this development and therefore appealed to the Minister of Finance to, as a matter of urgency, rectify the anomaly by providing funds for the Commission for the first quarter of the year. This is due to the critical role played by the PC in regulating the upstream petroleum industry. The Chairman of the Committee on Mines and Energy, Dr. Kwabena Donko, made a case for the release of an additional 50 million Ghana cedis for the National Gas Company.
The amount allocated to NDPC is 8,994,734 Ghana cedis. Out of this amount, 5,561,434 is from GOG and 1,500,000 Ghana cedis coming from the ABFA, and then another 1,933,300 donor support. The figure, the UOG amount is made up of employee compensation of 2,124,386 Ghana cedis, goods and services 1,777,338, and assets 1,659,710. The committee, having examined the 2013 annual estimate of NDPC, recommend that the House approve the sum of 8,994,734 Ghana cedis for the implementation of the programs and activities of the National Development Planning Commission.
The Minister of Water Resources, Works and Housing's budget allocation was also approved. The ministry has been given 598,902,647 Ghana cedis for the implementation of its programs for the year. In presenting the Works and Housing Committee's report, its chairman, David Tete Asumin, said the Department of Rural Housing will construct 17 cocoa farmers' houses in selected districts, adding that government has allocated 5 million Ghana cedis to augment the 2 million Ghana cedis revolving fund of the public servant housing scheme to enable beneficiaries of the program to complete their houses, while others are assisted to purchase estate houses and initiate their own houses.
That report was filed by our parliamentary correspondents Dominic Logie and Augusto Zakwe.
The National Media Commission, NMC, says it will not be able to pay its workers this year if the budget provision for its salaries and allowances are anything to go by. The commission requested for about 5 million Ghana cedis, half of which was expected to be used to pay the salaries and allowances of its staff, but this was slashed to 286,000 Ghana cedis. This was contained in the report of the Special Budget Committee of Parliament on this year's estimates for the NMC. There's another report by Dominic Logie and Augusto Sakwe.
Presenting the committee's report to Parliament, a member, Professor George John Bafour, pointed out the reason given for the cut. He said officials from the Ministry of Finance explained that a contingency vote has been set aside in the budget to cater for shortfalls in employees' compensation. MP for Keta Richard Kwashiga was of the opinion that, considering the role played by the NMC, reducing its budget might affect output. He said Ghana's democracy is the envy of many countries, so institutions that work to deepen it should be properly resourced. The NP for Nsawo Medrejiri, Frank Anodompre, added his voice to calls for the provision of more finances for the NMC. He said it is high time the commission was empowered to broaden its scope. He said this can be by setting up offices for the commission in the regions.
Dominic Logie and Augusto Sakwe filed that report.
Panelists at a conference on women in peace and security have identified expensive political campaigns as the main hindrance to the active participation of women in decision-making in the sub-region. The panelists from Ghana, Liberia, Sierra Leone and Sudan say most women in Africa are not economically sound, and as such, they are not able to come up with the finances for their campaigns. They made these observations at a Women's Day and photo exhibition organized by the Women, Peace and Security Institute of the Kofi Annan International Peacekeeping Training Center. Doreen Ampofo reports.
All over Africa, women and girls are known to suffer most during periods of conflict and increased insecurity. During the many civil wars that have plagued the continent in the past, rape and sexual violence against women have been used as instruments of war. Their participation in decision-making process in relation to conflicts and democracy have also been minimal. In Ghana, only 10.9% of women are members of parliament. The Women's Day and Photo Exhibition was to draw the attention of stakeholders to ensure that more women are given leadership roles in decision-making, security institutions, and participate in peacekeeping activities. A representative from the West African Women's Observers, Eunice Roberts, identified expensive campaigns, stereotyping and traditional beliefs as hindrances to women. She asked political parties to cede some of their safe seats to women in order to increase the number of women in parliament.
Women play an important role in the campaign for moving with politicians. Unfortunately, we do not find many women in the national executive. of most political parties. The economic nature of political campaigns, it is becoming more and more expensive as a learning parallel through time. It is very difficult for women to raise money to get involved. And then it is about time we introduce people's minds on the
The Executive Director of West African Network for Peace Building, Emmanuel Bombande, asked government to show more commitment to protect the rights of women. In a message, the Minister of Gender, Children and Social Protection, Nana Oyelisa, said government has commenced a national survey to assess the current state of domestic violence in Ghana to design interventions for the effective implementation of the Domestic Violence Act.
Doreen Ampofu filed that report. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories. National Labour Commission directs teachers to resume work today. Parliament approves budgetary estimates for four ministries. Expensive political campaigns identified as major hindrance to women's participation in decision-making in the sub-region. Security agencies impound over 200 motorbikes and tricycles in Tamale to reduce road crashes. Kenya's Independent Electoral and Boundaries Commission starts official registration of parliamentarians today. And Australia apologizes to persons affected by adoption policy between 1950 and the 1970s. We are back after this break.
Radio Ghana, the ultimate news reference. We are reliable. The world listens to our voice.
Welcome back. The chairman of the Christ Apostolic International, Dr. Stephen Amoni, has appealed to Christians to continue praying for the nation as Ghana needs peace to develop and meet the aspirations of the people. Addressing the 56th session of the Ministerial and General Council meeting of the Church in Kumasi, Apostle Amoni said pastors act as overseers and intercessors for the land and must pray fervently for the country. We bring you the details.
Apostle Amoni appealed to the Christian community, especially pastors and other church leaders, never to take sides in political parties to polarize the congregation. He asked them to always remain neutral even in the face of provocations. Apostle Amoni congratulated the delegates on their efforts that gave the church a leap in growth in virtually all sectors of its economy. Presenting a paper on discipleship, former rector of Gimpa, Professor Stephen Adai, said Christianity is not about the performance of miracles and wonders, which have become the order of the day. He expressed regret that Christians are defining spirituality by the wrong measure, saying spiritual persons are not those who perform wonders and miracles, but those who behave the way Christ did. The meeting was aimed at assessing activities of the previous year and to formulate policies for this year. Professor Adai expressed concern that for the sake of tradition, the teaching of Christ is being set aside. He called on the church to change structures of worship to allow God to use worshippers as instruments of change and a point of contact not only to build churches but also the nation as a whole.
That was a news desk report.
The lack of reading has been identified as a learning defect in the country. As at 2011, only 23% of learners in primary 3 were proficient in reading. To this end, the Ghana Education Service will launch a reading plan to ensure that 80% of children are able to read effectively by 2017. The Deputy Director General of GES, Charles Ahetochega, made this known at the launch of a campaign dubbed Children's Right to Read. It was jointly organized by the GES and the Ghana Union of the Blind. A report by Mary Atule.
The Special Education Division of GES, in collaboration with the Ghana Union of the Blind, launched the campaign Children's Right to Read to improve literacy among children, especially the blind. The Deputy Director of GES, Charles Ahetochega, said the focus is to build a strong reading foundation within the academic experiences of all readers with disabilities. He indicated that reading is a critical aspect of learning and acquisition of knowledge. Mr. Ahetochega hinted that the GES would reintroduce the silent reading culture in schools.
For the Ghana Education Service, over the years, we have worked very hard and tirelessly to ensure quality education and learning by focusing on the two strong pillars of knowledge, and that is literacy and numeracy. Between these two pillars, it is identified that literacy is the mother of all learning, because a person's ability to read provides the basis for understanding all the different subjects in the academic package. To promote all children reading, which is the focus, we at the Ghana Education Service believe that this is a strong hallmark that will facilitate inclusion, as it will eventually improve the learning achievements of all learners with visual impairment and others with other forms of disability, and also guarantee educational outcomes when they leave school. The objective of the All Children Reading is to ensure that no child is left behind, and the effort to improve literacy among children in Ghana, and that is improving reading in institutions of the visually impaired. It demonstrates our determination not to exclude anyone in the course of ensuring that quality education is achieved in Ghana.
Mr. Aheto Chega urged individuals and institutions to donate books that they no longer read to GES to distribute to schools.
Mary Atuli reporting.
Public basic schools in Ghana continue to lack quality infrastructure to enhance teaching and learning, even though government spends 6.5% of its GDP on education. To check this, the Center for Democratic Development, CDD, is asking the Ministry of Education to review and strengthen the mandate of the Infrastructure Coordination Unit to be putting up schools in Ghana. At a validation workshop to present research findings on tracking public basic schools infrastructure in Accra, a research officer at the center, Max Olejay, said this will ensure that all basic schools have quality infrastructure for effective teaching and learning.
The survey focused on general infrastructure of public schools, girl child education and school infrastructure, and children with disabilities education. The report asked government and the GES to consider redesigning school infrastructure for the marginalized, such as children and teachers with disabilities. Mr. Ashon said most basic schools visited had no ventilation in the classrooms, no washrooms and places of convenience.
Access to adequate quality infrastructure has been identified to have strong impact on learning outcomes and school attendance. Studies by COVID, for instance, the Macro and PUN, has indicated that the lack of quality infrastructure in the form of classrooms has a strong impact on students' perception of their well-being and performance, while the access of a new ventilation system in schools increases people's work rate by approximately 7%. And similarly, Chisholm and Hammond also estimate that around 20% of children who enter schools with poor illumination in their classrooms complete school with visual problems. So that makes the provision of the infrastructure very, very important.
The report said in order to accommodate persons with disabilities in the mainstream, there is a need to make proper provisions to enable these people to enjoy good learning environment. Another research officer of the center, Edward Amprichum, who made a presentation on girl child education, said most schools visited had no potable water, thus discouraging the girl child, especially those in the rural areas, not to attend school. He said providing such basic amenities in schools should not be a major problem if the MDG 2, which is achieving universal primary education, is to be achieved by 2015. Mr. Amprichum said the final report will be presented to government and other stakeholders in the education sector.
Baba Otu filed that report.
Nearly $6 million is to be invested in the country's water sector to boost and improve local level water sustainability over a period of 3 years. At a forum in Accra by an NGO, Safe Water Network, the CEO, Kate Soderland, says the network will, among other things, develop and implement solutions to ensure safe delivery of water in the country, especially at the community level.
The National House of Chiefs has reaffirmed its support for the new Minister of Chieftaincy and Traditional Affairs, Dr. Henry Sedu Dana, on his appointment as Minister of Chieftaincy Institution. The President of the House, now Professor John Abila, was addressing the first meeting of the House for the year in Kumasi. Thomas Nsunweje and Razak Baba were there for Radio Ghana.
Six members of the House who were absent during the opening of the newly constituted House were sworn in by a supervising High Court Judge Ruben Bantu. The appointment of Dr. Seydou Dana as Minister for Chieftaincy Institution attracted mixed reaction from a section of chiefs who believe the minister is not the best person for the position because the institution frowns on disability. However, the National House of Chiefs quickly dispelled the notion and expressed its readiness to work with Dr. Dana, who has been a research officer at the Chieftaincy Secretariat for the past 19 years. Now, Professor Nabila noted that the new minister, who is part of the Chieftaincy Institution, is very much aware of the challenges confronting it. He urged Dr. Dana to maintain his wisdom, tact and firmness, and tackle the numerous chieftaincy problems in the country. Now, Professor Nabila reminded members of the regional and the National House of Chiefs to resolve to reduce chieftaincy disputes to the barest minimum. The Minister of Chieftaincy and Traditional Affairs, Dr. Seydou Dana, noted that, having associated himself with the chieftaincy institution for some years, he is now in a better position to utilize his knowledge and experience to put in place policies and programs which will further enhance the development of chieftaincy practices in the country's socio-economic development. The minister said the chieftaincy institution is beset with some challenges. Among them are the low allowances, inadequate budgetary allocation, inadequate numbers and training of staff to man traditional councils, and the need to pass into law certain amendments regarding membership of the Regional House of Chiefs. Dr. Seydou Dana called for the support of members to motivate him to deliver.
Thomas Nsunwaje and Razak Baba filed that report.
The Northern Regional Police Command, in a joint operation with sister security agencies and the National Road Safety Commission, yesterday impounded over 200 motorbikes and tricycles in Tamale. The operation is an effort to instill discipline on the roads and reduce deaths through road accidents. Riders and some drivers were arrested for various offenses, including riding without crash helmets, riding unregistered motorbikes, and riding unlicensed motorbikes and cars. Briefing the media after the exercise, the regional director of the National Road Safety Commission, Alexander Ayata, disclosed that 40 people died through motor accidents in the region between January and February this year. He noted that political interference has often hampered similar operations in the past. Mr. Ayata warned politicians, chiefs and other influential persons in the region to desist from interfering with the work of law enforcement agencies.
Meanwhile, the police in Kumasi have rounded up 150 suspected armed robbers, including 8 females, at separate locations as part of efforts to rid the city of criminals. The operation took place in suburbs such as Ebukrom, Asafo, the premises of the affordable housing project at Asokore Mampong and Chiame. Among items retrieved from the suspects were 39 passports, live ammunition, 3 locally manufactured pistols, 97 assorted mobile phones, 6 machetes, 3 spent cartridges, a laptop computer, and 3,816 Ghana cedis. Briefing the media in Kumasi, the Ashanti Regional Police Commander, DC OP Augustin Janine, explained that when the police stormed the affordable housing project area at Asokore Mampong around 7 p.m. on Tuesday, the suspects, who numbered about 30, attempted to escape arrest and bolted through different directions, but were apprehended between the KNUSD junction and Angoga traffic intersection.
And now to the foreign front. Kenya's Independent Electoral and Boundaries Commission, IEBC, will officially register members of parliament as well as the House and Senate today, following the country's general election on the 4th of this month. IEBC Commissioner Ambassador Yusuf Nzibo says the electoral body is also finalizing state and county officials who have been nominated to various positions across the country.
Prime Minister Julia Gillard has issued an apology to people affected by Australia's forced adoption policy between the 1950s and 1970s. Thousands of babies of unmarried, mostly teenage mothers, were thought to have been taken to the state and given to childless unmarried couples. Many women said they were coerced into signing away their children. Speaking in front of hundreds of victims, Ms. Gillard said the shameful policy had created a legacy of pain. And now to end the news, the main points again. The National Labour Commission has directed teachers to resume work today while negotiations with their employers continue. expensive political campaigns have been identified as a bane confronting women's participation in politics. This came to light at the Conference on Women in Peace and Security in Accra. And Kenya's Independent Electoral and Boundaries Commission, IEBC, will today commence registering parliamentarians. The news was presented by Abraham Donko
and Naja Gleago in Accra.